You're listening to SBS News.
The destruction of the Kakhovka Dam and its hydroelectric power plant in southern Ukraine is causing the flooding of towns, the endangering of crops, and is a threat to the region's water supplies. Despite the dam being in Russian hands and signs that the explosions came from within the structure itself, the Kremlin has accused Ukraine of shelling the facility. Regardless, the destruction is already having widespread humanitarian impacts. And speaking from Ukraine's capital in Kyiv, I have Damian Rance of UNICEF Ukraine. First of all, Damian, what's your role with UNICEF?
So I'm the Chief of Communications and Advocacy, so the spokesperson for UNICEF in Ukraine.
And could you paint a little bit of a picture for us of what the extent of the damage is and which communities are most affected here?
So, I mean, thanks for the question. I mean, the flooding caused by the damage to the dam poses a grave risk and not only causes further displacement for children who have already seen and been through so much, but it also, as you said, impacts their access to safe drinking water and to electricity. And more to the point, this is really what we're seeing is just yet another attack on infrastructure that's incredibly vital to the well-being of children in Ukraine. So, In terms of Ukrainian government-controlled areas, we've seen some, you know, the government's ordered the relocation of some 16,000 people. So that's in 37 sort of towns and villages due to full or partial, you know, flooding risks in those communities. Some houses have been destroyed by flooding and some of the lower parts of Kherson City downstream from the dam, some of the lower areas of that city have been flooded as well.
Yeah. And up until now, what kinds of challenges have the citizens of Kherson and those surrounding regions had to deal with in the conflict?
So that whole area is very close to what we call the line of contact, the frontline area. Kherson, for example, does see significant shelling, particularly in the center of the town, on a fairly regular basis. I spoke yesterday to a mother of three, Henia, and she was telling me when she woke up in the morning and she heard that the Kakhovka Dam had there'd been an explosion and there was possible flooding coming. She felt exactly the same way as she felt when the war escalated in February of last year. She had that sinking feeling that I don't know what to do next. You know, of course, she has a family of three children to look after, so she very quickly had to pull a contingency plan together. So she spent the morning collecting water in every container that she had in her house. She's in a higher part of Kherson City, not one of the lower flooded areas. But she knew that the water was going to be cut off very shortly, and she was also told to expect possibly the electricity to be cut. So she spent the morning doing what she had to do. She said we had go bags, you know, quick run bags already prepared for her and the children. She thought they were going to be used because of potential shelling. She's now had to reassess that, and they're now on standby in case they need to flee because of flooding. So people living in Kherson City and up along that river area, the Dnipro River, they've certainly seen the effects of this conflict, and once again, it's come back to have a massive impact on their lives.
And it's safe to say the destruction of the dam has exacerbated some of those issues?
Well, certainly. I mean, we've seen, you know, some up to 16,000 people are being relocated by the government. That's having an impact on all of the people being relocated. UNICEF, for example, is putting in place at transit sites, at bus stops and train stations. Well, we put assistance in place so they can get bottled water, sanitation supplies, and what we call people on the move kits, basically just everyday items that you may not have been able to collect before you left that you can take with you. But I think more importantly, we also have psychologists, psychosocial services in place, medical professionals in these locations. Sometimes if you're waiting for a train and you're absolutely stressed because you know you're being displaced, maybe for the second or third time, we have what's called spilno sites. Spilno means together in Ukrainian. They're essentially play areas for children. So children can actually get together with other children and have a semblance of normalcy, of normality while this chaotic situation is going on around them. And that's critically important to, you know, make sure that these any kind of emotional processing or developmental processing that's required to deal with these stresses, they're dealt with at the earliest possible opportunity.
Yeah, of course. And even looking beyond the people immediately affected by this disaster, what are UNICEF's concerns regarding the potential knock-on effects of this destruction? Do they expect it could affect the entirety of Ukraine?
Well, we're seeing people being moved to Mykolaiv city and further onwards to Odessa and to Khmelnytskyi and probably through to Kiev as well. So, of course, Ukraine actually does have very solid infrastructure in place. We are supporting the government and they have solid transportation networks with the Ukrainian rail service. But of course, people only can take so much. And I imagine if you've been displaced multiple times, the stresses and the traumas that has on you wears you down after a while. So but there is a spirit here. People are in it together. So I think as much as, people have gone through, there is a resilience here as well. And that seems to be carrying quite a number of people.
Does your organization imagine this to have an effect on the broader energy or agricultural sector or even food supply?
Yeah, that's a very important question. So, I mean, there's a lot of arable farmland, cropland that probably has been devastated by the flooding either that's come from or is about to come from this dam explosion. We've seen irrigation systems wiped out and of course, water supply networks, as I mentioned, have been completely destroyed in multiple areas downstream from there. And of course, it was a hydroelectric plant. So that's yet another source of electricity removed from the grid as well. So Ukraine has been through a lot and they do seem to continually recover from that. I was here through the winter as well when electrical infrastructure was being directly targeted by missiles and loitering munitions, they managed to make it through the bitterly cold winter. And I think it's more of the same at the moment. These are significant issues that we're going to be seeing, but I think there is a resilience here to carry on. So we're working with the government to ensure that water and wastewater infrastructure that has been damaged becomes operational again as soon as possible. Very critical to preventing the spread of waterborne diseases and of course, working with the government to make sure vector control is done in some of those flooded areas. Well, the last thing we need to see is a mosquito-borne epidemic of some kind too. So, yeah, it's very important that we manage those issues.
Yeah, no, that sounds like fantastic work. And thank you so much for your time, Damien. I think that's all we've got time for at the moment, but I really appreciate you filling us in on what's going on in the ground over there. And I wish you luck with all of your efforts.
Thank you very much. Greatly appreciate this opportunity.
No worries. Thanks, Damien. And that is the latest from Ukraine. Thank you for listening. From the SBS Newsroom, I'm Sam Dover.